Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 327, The Wisdom of Jabez. Visiting Pastor Stephen and Diane Summerall delivered this message on Sunday, July 23rd, 2023, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, the Lord is good. Amen, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. And a mercy endures how long? You know, when you're a kid, forever could be about 30 seconds. Forever could be a very short time or a long time, but forever. And even as we are adults, we think, man, how long is that going to last? When you have a season of things just not too good, that's forever. When you're going through a battle, how long is that thing? Forever. When you're a kid and you want something really bad, but you don't get it, oh man, that's forever. But forever going to be with Him in glory. That's forever. And so every single thing that we go through in life is temporary. All of it's temporary. All of it is temporary. Not forever. And so we thank the Lord that forever is right around the corner. So everything else is temporary. Praise God. I'm going to be ministering here just a little bit from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you'd like to find that place. A great big thank you to Harlan Karen. One thing they didn't mention, but I will, is that they are actually our next door neighbors in South Bend for a period of time. And that the kids would play and kindly play with our kids because they're just a little bit older, but they tolerated our kids and played together. Oh, yeah, and Anna sat for some of the little rascals. And so, anyway, we've had a long association with them and good friends over the years. And thank you for this opportunity. And I think one of the last times that Harley and I were overseas, it was over in Greece. And different countries have different regiments and different protocol. And so they wanted non-GMO food there in Greece. And several countries in Africa the same. And you think in there for a second, say, wow, their people are starving. They have no food. The hope of getting food. They have pictures of people that are boiling bark, eating grass, just doing what they can to eat, to survive. But yet the government says, oh, that food's not good enough. You can't bring that in. So, man, it took forever to get somebody to come up with a container load of non-GMO food. So finally we got one, thank God, and we were in Greece. And Greece has been a kind of a portal for all kind of refugees coming into Greece. And then from Greece, moving on to the rest of Europe, some to Canada, some to the United States. But when we got there, the ministry was not just to the refugees coming in, but there are a lot of people that are still nomadic tribes across Europe, the gypsies, and nobody's ministering to them. Nobody was helping them. Nobody was feeding them. And they had camps outside of Athens, and United Nations, Red Cross, and the Greek regime, they would come out once a month. But instead of once a month, they'd come out about once every 6 months or less. And they were neglected. And I remember one little guy that we saw playing around that was familiar with the pastor that we were with. See that little boy? Yeah. He's 7 years old. Oh, good. He's never seen a doctor in his life.
Wow.
In our country, that's unthinkable. I mean, that's never allowed to happen. But he was over 7 years of age, never seen a doctor, never seen a dentist, never seen anybody that could attend to him medically, let alone physical food and spiritual food. And so, you know, there are hurting people around the world. And sometimes we think here in the United States, wow, we've got it rough. Gas went up 50 cents. It's awful. I mean, milk has gone up. Bread has gone up. Everything has gone up. But we have it to go up. In many countries around the world, they have nothing to go up. And so sometimes that's hard for us to conceive and understand, but it is a harsh reality. And yes, we did enjoy ministering with my father. A lot of people said, well, don't you have your own ministry? I said, this is my ministry. This is my ministry to minister to Dr. Lester Sumrall. And so a lot of guys would come around saying, do you call him Dad? I said, no, most of the time I call him, yes, sir. Hey, what's the next thing you'd like me to do? Yes, yes, sir. And but he had his moments, as we all do, being stern, being very direct. And then other times when he was old Dad, and particularly when we lived out in the Philippines, we're a little bit older, second time around, that he would go out and try to play ball and throw the ball to us and take us to where the water was clean enough to get into and you know, had that kind of a thing. And then at home in South Bend, there'd be a ball game on television, football or baseball, and everybody would cheer. And he'd do the same along with us. Yay! Then he'd look at me and said, what just happened? Why are they clapping? Why are they happy? What's going on with that? And so our dinner table, when we didn't have the family over, our guests, a very interesting place. There'd be a glass or tea. There'd be the meal or a sandwich and a soup. And then the rest of the table would be Dr. Sumrall's books. Open, studying, writing. And so when there wasn't a time when he wasn't doing that, well, when he fell asleep, maybe, but then he woke up in the middle of the night, he'd get up and start writing and doing his thing all over again. And so he was one of a kind and cannot be duplicated, and nobody should ever try. That everybody just needs to find their own way, to do their own thing, to be obedient to the Lord. Praise God. My dear wife, Diane, is with us today. Yay. And so I'm going to ask her to come up and just give a word of greetings. And then we're going to share from First Chronicles.
Okay. Now, is that right? That's right. That's it. We're blessed to be here. It's nice to see all of you, and we love your pastors. As my husband said, their children were a blessing to ours. Anna used to babysit. We have 5 children and 9 grandchildren, but you have 18, so you double our. And you have 3, and we have 5. How did that happen? But Anna was a blessing to me. She babysat for our little ones. And Jeremiah, I loved his spirit was so gentle and sweet. And Stephen, we had 5 children, but only 1 boy. There were 2 girls ahead of him and 2 girls behind him. And he would get so frustrated sometimes, surrounded by these girls. Jeremiah would come over and play with him. And there was a considerable difference in their age, but he was kind and he was lovely to Stephen. And he'd play with him in the backyard and just wear him out. And he'd swim and jump and play all over. But he was gracious and patient with him and just so kind. And I remember that. Those were good times. times change, children grow, and we have 9 grandchildren now that begin at 16 and go all the way down to 2. So we're having a good time with them. We're blessed, and we're blessed to continue in the ministry. When Pastor goes to Sweden, I'm not going with him, but Josh, our son-in-law, is going to go with him. And Josh is working with Feeding the Nations. It'll be good for him to be there, good for him to meet Pavi from Feeding the Nations Finland, and just good for him to be a part of the conference and a part of the meetings and meet some of our old friends and new friends. So that's a good thing. Rachel leads our worship, and Leslie does as well. Josh heads up, and Rachel, our detox ministry. That's our ministry for the youth. And he found favor at Riley High School. It's one of our bigger high schools there in South Bend, with the leadership there, with the principal there. And he goes and does detox every week there on Friday morning, early in the morning, meets with the students, anyone who wants to come and share with them. So he leads up our student ministry along with Rachel. And then Leslie, our second daughter, she's over our children's ministry. Rachel was an ORU graduate with secondary education, and Leslie elementary education. And we have teachers in the family. Our Ariel, who is our fourth child, she teaches in Coloma, the little ones, and I help her with her little ones. So that's nice to be able to do that, and makes her feel blessed to be able to have family caring for Gabriel. And then we have Alexandra, who for years taught dance. She's just now moved away from that, but she was a dance teacher for years. She spent 3 years in Australia at Hillsong. This has been several years ago. So that's our family, and we're very grateful, and we're grateful for your senior pastors and their family, and the interaction that our kids had with them when they were young.
It was all good.
It was all good.
And still good.
It's still good. It's still good. Now, did you want me to share a little bit? You had said just a few thoughts about Jabez, or
let me read the scripture first.
Okay.
Then you go ahead and do that. All right. We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, if we can start there. Try to adjust to the light here. There we go. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, your hand would be with me, keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." And so God granted him what he had requested. What a powerful, powerful request and scripture. Once again, 1 Chronicles 4, beginning of verse 9 and reading through verse 10.
And you read it from, is that the NIV?
New King James.
A New King James. And I'm reading it from the ESV. But when it talks about he was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez because she said, "I bore him in pain and sorrow." And Jabez called upon the name of the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. That's just a different translation. That's the ESV. What I felt We, Pastor and I, had talked about this at length, and I had read a commentary on it that I wanted to try to pull up today, but I can't get it. My Wi-Fi won't connect with yours. And I think my phone is just too old. It's a It's an iPhone 6. I hate to even admit that. It's the very one of the very first. And I've just not wanted to make the change, but I think I'm just going to have to. That's all there is to it. Sometimes change is not bad. It's
not
a
bad.
Good thing. And in the case of my phone, I think I need to make the change. But we talked about several things. It wasn't that we believed that, you know, it wasn't that Jabez was just honorable because God decided to say, okay, I'm going to choose you to be honorable. I pick you. You're an honorable person. He was honorable because he sought the Lord, because he reached out to God, because he recognized the sovereignty of God, and he wanted God to be involved in his life. He wanted God to put his hand upon him. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to break the generational curse of the name and the connection, pain and sorrow. And he said, no. No. I'm seeking the God of Israel. We're going to break. I'm refusing this pain and sorrow. I'm not going to perpetuate this. I'm going to break this generational curse of pain and sorrow. I won't live in this and all that it implies. I'm seeking the Lord, the hand of God. No matter what my mother named me and what the circumstances were of my birth, I am calling on the God of Israel to change those circumstances, to lay his hand on me, to break that generational curse. I will not perpetuate or live in sorrow and pain. And he also decided he wasn't going to widen the circle of conflict. He was going to walk in peace. He was going to walk in peace with his God. He was going to walk in, like Pastor Sarah said, love, which is our covering and our governor and our guidance and the hallmark of who we are as believers and who our God is, who Yeshua is. He is love. That's who he is. That's the embodiment of all that he is and all that that encompasses. So he asked the Lord that his hand would be upon him. And I think he thought about the future, not just living in the moment, but he thought about the future. He thought about his own children. He thought about the future generations. And he wanted God to be in control of that, of not only his present, but his future. And he knew if he cried out to God and asked him to lay his hand upon him, and enlarging his tent could mean a lot of things. Might mean widen the sphere of his influence or his own material things. But it could also mean his tent being the tabernacle of the Lord, his spirit connecting with God's spirit and enlarging his understanding of God, and he and the Lord being one. You know, imagine. But that's a hard thing to get away from, isn't it, when you're named? We named our Ariel, Ariel, and you have one, don't you? One amongst your grandchildren. It means Lion of God. And her middle name is Christine. And you have a Christina, which is anointed Christian. We thought about what we named our children. How would you feel if your mother named you Pain and Sorrow? That's an awful stigma, isn't it? But he said, no. No, I don't have to live here. I'm not going to live here. I will call upon the God of Israel, and I will ask him to lay his hand on me, be part of my life. And my destiny and my purpose and my future will change as a result of that. I will be in the hands of God.
Amen. That's very good. Very good. In the hands of Almighty God. Now, there are four things that he asked the Lord to help him with. Bless me indeed. And a lot of people, they say that, oh, God, bless the work of my hands, because my hands have to be busy. I got to have a job. I got to work. I got to do something. And then Diane just touched on enlarge my territory. And some people, we get into a comfort zone, and we don't want to move. God, don't give me one more thing to do. I don't need that. What I need is peace. I need calm. I need to just sit down for a moment and relax and do absolutely nothing. Well, you know, there's a lot of people doing nothing. So we don't need to join that bunch. But I said, enlarge my territory. And like Diane just said, sometimes that means everything towards God, towards man, towards self, towards family. Just bigger, not smaller, not shrink. A lot of people have this mentality, man, nobody's taking care of me. And so if nobody is, then it's going to be me taking care of me. But when you're larger territory, you're thinking about others, other people. What are they going through? What is their pain? How can I alleviate? How can I help? How can I bless? How can I speak a word? What can I do? I've told this story a lot of times, but it was Christmas time. We got our first big screen TV, and it was big to us. So it wasn't one of those. It was one of those. So I had a guy from the store help me to get it in the car, which was a trick all by itself. But then he was grumbling the whole way. I hate this time of year. I don't like Christmas. Oh, man, people are demanding. And, I mean, it is awful. And, I mean, he just kept going on how bad Christmas was all the way to the car, helping me pay his salary. I bought that thing there. I had a pardon in paying his way. But there he was grumbling the whole way. So when it was done, I got in my pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and I smiled real big and said, Merry Christmas. And then all of a sudden, he turned on a dime, just like that. Oh, man, this is the best day. Christmas is wonderful. Merry Christmas to you. And all it took was 20 bucks. Not 20 million, just 20. Enlarge my territory. Help me help somebody else. Help me reach out. Help me bless. And oh God, I might have been called a pain in my life, but I don't want to inflict pain. And so a lot of people, their kids, they say, well, you're dumb. You're stupid. You're rebellious. You're angry. You'll never amount to anything. Those words are spoken over little sponges in their brain, sponges in their heart. And some kids never, ever get over it the rest of their life. Well, I guess I can't be a manager. I guess I'll never own anything. I guess I'll put in my time and retire so I can legitimately sit around and do nothing. Because the people that said they love me, they call me stupid. They call me things that nobody else has called me. So I guess that's my place in life. I'm nothing. I'm a worm. I have no say. I have no intelligence. I have no ability. Because that's what he said over me. Wow, what a legacy that is. What a legacy, a pain that is. And so just smiling to somebody and saying, how are you? You doing okay? What's your first name? John? All right. Mary? Yeah. You don't know me? I don't know you. But I just feel down on the inside, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to remember you every single day to say, oh, yeah, at that store, at that grocery counter, at that guy in the parking lot, somebody ran into in the hospital as I was visiting somebody, touched them, helped them, blessed them. Then he said, put your hand on me. Put your hand on me. You know, we are marked sometimes by what we do. And so he said, put your hand on me. I want to be marked by God. I don't want to be marked by the world. And sometimes the way we remember people are by the labels that we give them. They're left, or they're right, or they're too religious, not religious enough, or they're poor, or they are rich. I was getting on an airplane going somewhere, and the first class usually gets on first. And a little boy said to his mama, Mama, how come we can't get on the airplane yet? They let all these people on. How come we can't go right now? And just as loud as can be, she must have had a long day already, but anyway, as loud as can be, she looked at the little boy and said, because we're poor. We can't buy that ticket. That's why we're going all the way to the back. And I thought, dear God, she just spoke over that little boy that can ring in his ear, ring in his brain, ring in his heart the rest of his life. We can't do that because we are labeled poor. And nobody labeled her that except herself. She did. And so what a terrible thing that is to say that I am poor. I'm poor in my mind, poor in my emotions, I'm poor in my spirit, I'm poor in finances. I am poor. And poor only means one thing, really. It means lacking, not having enough. And sometimes people are lacking in many areas, but you don't have to be. Because God said, put your hand on me. Then he says, keep me from evil. Say this with me. Bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Put your hand on me. Keep me from evil. Wow. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Wow. If you would also look at Matthew chapter 10. I'm sorry, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to do what? Provoke them to love and to good works. And so sometimes we are able to provoke each other for many different reasons, and a lot of them not good. But here the word says this, provoke them into love and to good works. And then this next verse really gives me, being a pastor and having people in church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, there are many people that watch online for many different reasons. I understand that. But there's something about camaraderie, being together, putting a hand on one another's shoulder and saying, I'm praying for you. What happened this week? How's your job? How are you feeling? From here, where are you going? And then during the week, can we have lunch? Can I buy you a cup of coffee? How are your kids? What's taking place in your life? How do you do that from a distance? Not too easily. That's why cell groups that we have, that's why we gather together as the body of Christ, as the Word of God tells us to do. Don't forsake. Don't stop. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhort one another. And in so much the more, in this last line, as the day approaching. What day? Just Sunday? Is he talking about that? No, bigger, bigger, bigger. Everybody say bigger.
Bigger.
Say it bigger.
Bigger.
Say it bigger than that.
Bigger.
So what's the day? Jesus is coming so soon. Wow. And some people out there in la-la land, la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh, life's wonderful. Oh, yeah. I'll always have enough to put gas in the car and food on the table, and I can go to a movie, and I can go to the sports game, and, oh, man, I can watch this new TV show on TV, and on it goes. La, 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 la. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Bombs are still falling in Ukraine. Kids are still starving in India and Africa. And we're out here in La La Land. Wow. There's a real world out there. A real world that's really hurting. And they need help, because the day when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back, and we got to do all that we can to make sure that we know exactly who we are, what we are, and what we're supposed to be doing. All right, if you would, 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it's also in you. Where did Lester Sumrall get his faith? Man, he had a mama that prayed. I never heard a whole lot about my grandfather. I never met my grandfather. But Betty Sumrall, she was a prayer warrior. Oh, my goodness. She had a slew of kids. About 8 of them, most of them preachers in the ministry. She prayed them all in. The last two was Lester Sumrall and his sister, Leona Sumrall Murphy. And man, she was a preacher and a storyteller. And she'd bring people through the altar. Oh my goodness. When she preached the watch night service every year, I had to get saved all over again. Man, if Jesus comes in this new year, I'm a goner. I don't think I'm going to make it. But she can make hell so hot and heaven so good. Wow. But then when Mom and Dad were out preaching someplace in another country, my aunt and uncle and my grandma would take care of us boys. And Frank and Pete found something else to do, play outside or have to do something. So I was the one that was with them at Bible reading time. And it was never just prayer. They had to read 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever chapters in the Bible first and then pray. But I'll never forget Grandma in the rocking chair and just saying, Oh, Jesus. And just by saying, oh, Jesus, I mean, you can see the presence of God just... And I wept like a baby. prayed in tongues. And we were there for 1 hour, then 2 hours. And then it didn't matter what time it was, because we're in the presence. You don't want to move. You know what? You've got nothing. There's no such thing as agenda. No such thing as I got to do. Well, maybe you got to do it, but not from the presence of God. It's not worth it to run out and say, well, that's enough time for you, God. You've got all your allotted time. So things have to move on. There's going to be a whole lot of nervous Christians in heaven because they don't have time for church. Don't have time for prayer. Don't have time to meditate. Don't have time to be still. Be still and know that I am God. They don't have time for that. But you can develop that. That power, that anointing, that faith was in your grandma and your ma. And then the verse 6, he says, therefore, I remind you to do what? Stir up the gift. So that's why we come to the house of God. That's why we are with each other, to stir it up. And, you know, stuff happens during the week. I understand that. There are things that happen, issues, phone calls, bills, all kind of stuff happens. That's why we need to come together for exactly that. Stir them up. Pray. Raise your hands. Sing. Read the Word of God. Get that faith machine going inside of you. I mean, it has suffered a little bit of damage because you neglected it during the week. But here we are, together as the body of Christ. Stir that thing up inside of you. Stir that gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. It's one thing my dad did. Whenever he had a traveling evangelist or missionary or teacher come by the church, he said, before you go, lay hands on my boys. So we stood there and said, all right, this is something we've got to do. Can't get out of it. And so we, okay. I can't tell you how many times Howard Carter laid his hands on me. Oral Roberts laid his hands on me. Different teachers and evangelists and missionaries from around the world lay their hands on our boys. And this is very important. Sometimes you want nothing to happen because you have a little seed of rebellion in your heart. And it doesn't make any difference how many people lay hands on you. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. But if you want it, oh, the floodgates are opened up and the power comes in and the anointing hits your life and a little bit of what they had gets into you. But after that, you develop it, you pray, you exercise that faith, you believe God for miracles, because just like in this letter to Timothy, it's in you. I remind you to stir up that gift by the laying on of hands. For God has not given to us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind. And a sound mind. We have the blessings of God laid out before us. We have His truth that is set before us. And the truth is what you're going to know. The truth is what you're going to follow. The truth is our desire. The truth of the Word of God is how we live. How do we live in times like these? Carefully, prayerfully. And it's okay to be a follower of what's happening in the news, what's happening in our country, what's happening in the nations around the world. This is only my personal opinion. I did not get a thus saith the Lord on it. I got a thus saith Stephen on it. That sometimes we get so politically motivated against people we don't like. Just hear me out now. Don't turn me off on the engine brain here. We get so politically motivated against somebody we don't like, or what they say, or what they're proposing to do to our country. And that's okay to have opposition, because there are many countries around the world where speaking up will get you in jail. Speaking up can get you very dead. But in our nation so far, for the most part, we're able to speak our mind. And thank God for that. But some folks, they get so into that frame of mind, they forget their first calling. What's the first one? Be a follower of God. Be a lover of man. And help people. Wow. You think there's going to be political parties in heaven? How many Democrats are there going to be in heaven? A lot. How many Republicans? Not as many as you thought. So God knows the heart. God knows the heart. Those that are praying. And so we live in a country that has a variety of opinions about everything. Everything. Not some things, but everything. And we have to understand that we're free to say that. But our first calling is to make sure that people get into heaven. Heaven. A home. The day's coming. Jesus is coming soon. So we try, should we be trying to get people to join our political party? Or should we be trying to get people into the kingdom of God? And so sometimes those things are bigger than those other things down here. If you would, Ephesians chapter 6. That's been mentioned this morning just a little bit. But the Bible says this very plainly. Beginning in verse 11, saying, put on the armor of God. That's a voluntary thing to do. Put it on. Put it on. When you're a child, maybe you don't know what to put on. And the mama dresses you. But here the word of God says, you put it on. You pick. Which one do you really want? What comfort zone do you want? Well, do you remember David going out to kill Goliath? And he already had in his heart what he was going to say, what he was going to do. And if you read that text very carefully in that story, the Bible shares with us that David never called him a giant. He was called an enemy. But the king, all the armies, they said, wow, could you see how big he is? Count his fingers. See how tall he was. He's got a spear that's like a weaver's beam. He's got a shield that's as tall as a man. The rest of us, wow, certainly nobody can defeat him. He's too big. Things might be too big for you, but they're not too big for God. They're not too big for God. And this little boy said, I'm on a mission. My daddy sent me here to check on my brothers. Sent me here to bring them food. But here you got an obstacle out there that's defying our nation, our king, our armies. But bigger and deeper than that, he's defying our God. And I cannot let that happen. And I asked him, who are you? What are your credentials? Well, I'm a shepherd boy. And I managed to take on bears and lions and everything else. And my brothers. I've been able to take them all on. But this thing that's against God and the armies of God, God's going to deliver him into my hands. And if they read the scripture carefully, you'll see that I will depart his head from his body. Whew. He did not say, I'm just going to knock him out. He said, I'm going to take his head off. I'm going to finish him off. Sometimes we let our giants live. We defeat a giant. He's down for the count. And we just leave. Well, that's enough. No, no, no. It wasn't enough for David. And it's not enough for you. That when you got a giant on the ground, take his head off. So he cannot come back again. He cannot torment you again. He can't bother you again. He can't call you nothing anymore because you are a man or a woman of God and you are filled with the armor of God. And I said, how about a shield? Too big. Helmet? Too heavy. Sword? Too tall. But what's the right size of weapons that I'm supposed to have? The size that God gives you. What did he give me? Faith. Love. A slingshot. A stone. And in somebody else's hand, they would have been nothing. But in the hands of David, they were a weapon of war. They were a weapon of war to knock down any size giant there is. You got any giants? You got any giants in your life? God can use you and your weapons. The weapons of the world do not work. The weapons of God will work every single time. Even in their eyes, they see a stone. They see a sling. They see a boy. But God is saying, he's my man. Go get him. Yes, sir. And the Bible tells us he ran towards Goliath. He was not running from Goliath when he got that stone going round and round and round, let it go. He was running toward him, not from him. And so here the word tells us, put on the armor that you can stand against. It says the wiles in King James. The wiles, the tricks, the lies, the schemes. And he's a slippery little servant. I mean, he'll come in when you don't expect it. On your best day, on your worst day, there he shows up. And if you close the front door, he'll find the back one. And so you got to have to be ready at all times to stand against the lies of the devil. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And there's a whole lot of that going on today in the church and outside the church. But against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up everything you got. I said the whole armor of God. Pick it all up. Pick it all up. Pick it all up. The whole armor of God. You'll be able to stand in the evil day. And then after you've done it all, what do you do? Quit? Well, I guess this is my turn to get a beating. No. No. After you've done it all, after you've done it all to stand, what do you keep on doing? Verse 14. Stand. Keep on standing. Keep on standing. Many years ago, we had a visiting pastor in our church, and I just saw him in the back. I said, hey, brother, you got a word from the Lord? How about a little testimony? Thanks for being with us tonight. In midweek service night, there he was. I said, yes, sir, I do. What's that? Weebles wobbles, but they don't fall down. And then he sat down. I said, what in the world are you talking about? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And it's that toy that is weighted on the bottom, and you can hit him, and it keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. Because weighted and secured, where he will not be defeated, he will always come back. That's who we are. Yeah, the devil takes pokes at us, but we'll keep coming back. And he likes to hit you on the left side, the right side, the upside, the downside, all sides, all sides, all kind of issues, all kind of problems. But hey, hallelujah, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And so, yeah, you can hit it and hit it and keep on hitting it, because we know who we are. We know who we are. Therefore, stand. Keep on standing, girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then 16, above all, take the shield of faith, that you can able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying with what kind of prayers? A supplication. Out of a book. Out of your heart. Out of your head. In the Spirit. Praying with all kinds of prayers. Supplication of prayer. Being watchful to this end. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow. All the saints. All the saints. Dr. Summerall, when he was getting old, would never say he was getting old, but he was getting old. He looked at my brother and I. I said, after I'm gone, how are you guys boys going to run this thing? I wasn't ready for that question. My brother wasn't either. Because he called us in to his office, which was not unusual. And to sit across the table from him, which was not unusual. And then he got, and Harley knows this look, the disgusted kind of look on his face. Staring at us. What are you going to do after I'm gone? How are you going to run this thing? And he said, all my friends are in nursing homes, retired, or dead. And one of these days I'm going to be gone. What are you going to do? Something that you don't think about when the boss is still sitting in front of you. Because the boss knew exactly what to do. And we just follow along and try to facilitate as best we possibly could. And so the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we hem out around. We gave him a couple of answers. But it impacted my life. I remember it like I just said just right now. And that's been a long time ago that I said those words. But the words still hit me every single day. How are you going to do this? Then I remember back. Well, how'd my dad do it? Prayer. 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 Word study. Being a man of integrity. A man of the Spirit. Not flinching. Not giving way. Not stopping. They say that when you're young in the Lord, you pray for all kinds of things. Oh, God, I need a parking space. God, I mean, I rebuke the devil right now. I just want that yellow car to move so I can take that place right now. And then we start praying. And then we pray for the red lights not to be so red. We want them to be at least green or yellow. And we pray all kind of infant prayers. What kind of prayers did my dad pray before he passed? He didn't have long prayers anymore. He had short prayers. And it was this, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. I want to know you. More than anything else in life, I want to know you. Wow. Wow. You know, when you're young in the Lord, you start asking for stuff. But there's more to life than stuff. More to life than people that you know. What have you been doing for eternity? Getting to know Him. But where do we know Him the best? Where do we start? Right here. Right now. And we had a building that was unattached from our office at many years ago. And so he'd walk from one to the other. And I see him walking. I see him moving his lips. And he just wasn't walking. He just wasn't just moving his lips. He was praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. Finest Jennings Dake, who wrote the Dake Bible, was still alive when we had him in a seminar. And in one evening time, he quoted the whole book of Revelation from 1:1 to the very end. Says, wow. And then after one seminar period in the morning, we're going to have lunch with Dr. Sumrall. And so he just sat down outside the office and he had his Bible open, just reading. And I said, Dr. Dake, what in the world are you doing? You just quoted the whole book of Revelation last night with your Bible closed. And then you taught this morning. And then here you are with the Bible open, reading the Bible again. And he said, he grinned and he said, well, I just got a little behind in my Bible reading, so I'm just trying to catch up. He spent 40 years studying the Word of God, taking it apart, the Greek, the Hebrew, translating into English, the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. Wow. And he's still catching up with his reading. Where do we have to go with our reading? I'm in my infancy. There's more to do. More to do. More to say. More to help. More people that are hungry. More people that are desperate than we could ever count, than we'd ever know. And so what are we supposed to do? Take the whole world on our shoulders? No. On Wednesday night, we do a video Bible study. And it's out of Dr. Sumrall's syllabus called Faith to Change the World. And I point out that a lot of people are happy trying to fix everybody else's problems when they got a pile of their own. It's like looking over to your neighbor and seeing their backyard all messed up. And yours is worse. You know exactly how to cut their grass, but you know how to cut your own. And you want to correct them on their bushes and flowers, but you got a mess on your own. And so we got to figure out that faith to change the world is really faith to change your own world. Why do you want to take care of somebody else's problems when you got a bucket load of them? And you got to have faith to change your world. And so we can have faith. We can believe God. Jehu got it right. He said, bless me. I need that. I need your word. I need your hand. Keep me from evil. I want to be God's man. With the right word, the right time. Because the days are short. Jesus is coming soon. And it's not that we say it with a frown on our face, Jesus is coming soon. We should do it with a smile. Hey, Jesus is coming soon. Man, we got a whole lot to look forward to. Yay, let's go. Get on the bus with me. We're going to heaven. How about you? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. My last story. Until I think of another one. I have a guy named Brother Dave. He was one of the easiest soul winners I've ever met in my life. He could get a sinner brought to the kingdom of God in 30 seconds time. I mean, it was just amazing. And so he was on vacation down in Florida, and it was a cafeteria. So you get your food, and then after your food, you go and get in line to pay for your meal. And the girl was just kind of standing there. And he said, how are you doing today? I said, rough day, terrible day, not good at all. And then he said, do you want to have a better day? I said, oh, yeah. Do you know Jesus? Well, I know some guy's name is Jesus, but I don't know Jesus. I'm talking about the Son of God. That Jesus? No, I don't. He said, well, pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I want to be born again and a child of God. Receive me now in Jesus' name. How long did that just take? 20 seconds, 25 seconds? She said it, paid the bill, and he left. The next year, back to the same cafeteria, and the same girl was a cashier. And so she said, do you remember me? Because I sure remember you. No, I'm sorry, I don't. I said, yes, how is a girl taking money? I had a very bad day, and you led me to Jesus. I just want you to know, in that 30 seconds of time, it took. I'm saved. I'm born again. What you took time to do saved my life. We don't need to give people a 4-year education. We just need to bring them to Jesus. Say, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need help bigger than anybody could ever give down here. So yeah, a larger territory. Bless me. Keep it from evil. May I be who you've created me to be, which is a blessing to humanity. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. And if you would, put your hand over your heart right now. And let me pray for all of you at the same time. Lord, I pray for every single one here today. God, you know every single one. You know every single one. And Lord, it's not like we can hide anything from you. You know everything about every single one that is here and those that are watching. You know them. They cannot escape, cannot hide. The Bible tells us in the last days that people are going to try and hide from God, hide underneath a pile of rocks. But it'll be impossible, because the searchable eyes of God searches all things. So Lord, I pray for every single one here today. Those that are watching, touch them. Heal them. Heal them in their body. Heal them in their mind, their emotions, their will. And heal them in their spirit. And if they don't know you, they can. Saying, Jesus, I've messed up. I need you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me. Set me free by your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we pray for our mind, our emotions, our will. We pray for our bodies so that we can be like David. We don't have the equipment of the world, but Lord, we sure got you. We have you. You have us. You have us, and we have you. So, Lord, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that we'll use the tools you've given to every single one of us to defeat the enemy every single time. Not sometimes, but every single time. and walk in that faith and walk in that determination to know that we are the child of Almighty God and we're following your lead, and we will win. We will win. We win every single time because we're following the winner, the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.